Hi, this is Tony Robbins. Welcome to The Time of Your Life, part of our personal coaching collection. Listen, I'm curious why you picked this up. You know, why are you listening to this right now? You don't have enough time as it is. My guess is because there's some stress in your life you'd like to get rid of, or there's some things that you really want to be able to do, accomplish, create, or give to those you love, but you feel like there just isn't enough time. You know, I don't know if it's because you've experienced my work before and so you're familiar and you've made a difference in your life, let's say physically or emotionally or in a relationship or in your finances or your career or whatever, and you just want to now master this area of your life and you're committed to focusing on it. If so, welcome back and I thank you for joining me and I promise to deliver for you. Or maybe you picked this up just on a whim, or maybe you've been stuck in bed late at night turning channels and there I was haunting you with my big white teeth and those silly infomercials telling you can have a better life, and you're thinking, I don't need any motivation. But then you saw the subject of time and you went, that's an area where it might be useful to have a few insights. Well, whatever reason you took this on, I want to make you three promises. If you'll take what I'm sharing with you and master it in a very, very simple form, regardless of the system you're using, I can promise you that one, you can take back control of your life. You can get out of overwhelm and you can practice these tools right away and see that it works. Two, I want to show you how to get the results you want for your life instead of ending up getting the results you want mixed in with everything else. And thirdly, most importantly, how to be more fulfilled. See, I can show you, like anyone can, some mechanics of how to manage your time, and that's very useful. Like, you know, no one teaches us how to deal with email. But without a few fundamentals, it drives you crazy, doesn't it? So having some mechanics is important. But my goal in everything I do, it's not just one subject like time. I see myself as a Trojan horse. I want to get you here and show you how to transform your time as one way of transforming your life. But we know you can't separate your time from your relationships. You can't separate your time from your emotions. You can't separate time from your body and the amount of energy you feel. I mean, when you're tired and exhausted, what happens to your time? Everything's stressful, isn't it? So I want you to know that I try to look for the ultimate solutions in life. What would it take for your life to be the way you really want it? What would an extraordinary life look like for you today? Not somebody else's idea, yours. To me, an extraordinary life, a magnificent life, is life on your terms. And if I'm going to begin to coach you here and support you, I want you to remember that managing your time, if that's what you came here for, you can do that perfectly and still be completely unfulfilled. Having had the experience of getting everything done on your to-do list, probably rare these days because the list gets bigger and bigger, but you got everything done and you still weren't fulfilled? Why? Maybe you fell into the trap of mistaking movement for achievement, or worse, achievement for fulfillment. See, we know that if we're going to have an extraordinary life, 80% of the battle is psychology, meaning our mindset. 20% is what to do in life. I mean, you know, what does it take to lose weight? It's not that complex. But most people don't do it because they don't have the mindset, the psychology. So what I want to do in this short time with you is help you to realize that to take control of your life again, have an extraordinary life, you got to take on a different psychology. And I'll tell you what it is. Most people in this world today, most Americans, most North Americans, most people in the world, would you say that they are physically fit, strong, energetic, that they feel like their life is magical, they're filled with the emotions that cause them to be fulfilled, like gratitude, drive, passion, excitement, you know, connection, love? Or would you say they're more frustration, overwhelmed, stressed out? Would you say they're more fit or more fat? Not hard to figure that one out in this country. You know, would you say that their relationships are passionate and joyous and connected, or constantly interrupted in their flow by these activities of the new technologies that are supposed to give us more time, like email, instant message, and your Crackberry, right? Most of this stuff is not showing up for people in a magnificent way. Most people don't feel like they've mastered their time or their life. They're financially stressed. They're stressed in their career. They're contributing, but they're not celebrating. In order to change that, we've really got to decide we're not going to dabble, but we're going to master our lives. And I'll tell you, I think there are a few areas you got to master: your body, your emotions, the sense of meaning in your life, your relationships, time, yes, time, your career or your mission, whichever you call it. For some people, it's their work. Your sense of mastery of your finances, so you have some freedom in that area, and your ability to contribute and celebrate so you have a life of meaning. And so everything comes back to that. And I would say the way you master any of these areas of your life is you realize there's two skills you got to master time or anything else. There's the mechanics side, which I call the science of achievement. See, every one of us, if we're going to be fulfilled, we know how to take what we dream about and turn it into reality. How to take that stuff that's a thought in your mind, this goal, this desire, and make it happen. And to do it consistently takes a system. So there's a science to your body, obviously. You know, there are laws. You violate those laws. Everybody has a unique body that's biochemically different than anybody else's. But there's certain fundamental laws that if you break them, you're going to be in pain. And if you live by them, you're going to have energy. Same thing's true with money, regardless of your age or your background or your gender or your color or your belief systems. Doesn't matter. You align with certain financial laws, you're going to win. You're going to have an abundance financially long term. You violate them, you're going to have too much month at the end of the money or a heck of a lot of financial pressure. So I've spent my life, 30 years, circling the globe, literally meeting people that have started with nothing and achieved the highest level of what they've dreamed. And I studied how they do it, and I've put into systems, and that's what's allowed me for 30 years to be able to coach some of the most successful people in the world, because I know the tools to get you from where you are to where you want to get quickly, easily, efficiently, and with a whole lot of fun. But I'll tell you something. If you master all those rules, and you know what to do, and you do the right steps, and you get it all done, and you master your time, and you master all these areas of your life, but you're not fulfilled, what do you got? Success without fulfillment is failure. And fulfillment is an art. So that means to have art, you know, everyone has different tastes. What's going to fulfill you is different than the person next to you or me or anyone else. What they think is ugly, you might think is beautiful or vice versa. So you got to know yourself. You got to know what's most important to you. And if there's anything that's going to change your life, it's taking a breath and taking the time to stop all the input and all the activity and say, before I do anything else, I'm not going to ask, what do I need to do? I got to figure out, what do I want for my life today? What do I really want for my life today? And why do I want it? You know, the average American today is working 50 hours on average. It was less than 40 hours 30 years ago. But that 50 hours doesn't include all the time you have on your cell phone on the way and back and forth to work. It doesn't include all the interruptions in your life in this fragmented society where there's asynchronous communication. Nothing gets completed. It's a little piece here, a little piece there. You're in the middle of something that matters and boom, it's interrupted all over again. It doesn't count any of that. That's just the 50 hours. So we've seen a 25% increase in work, but we're not seeing people more fulfilled. See, the art of fulfillment is part of mastering time, and I'll tell you why. Let me ask you a question. If you're going to master this area of your life called time, not just manage it, but master it, you got to know what it is you're managing or mastering. So what is time? Have you ever taken the time to think about that? This area that gives you so much stress, my time, I just don't have enough time. Well, what is that? What is this thing that's making you so stressed? Think about it. When I ask people, you know, what is time? They usually get glossy-eyed and go, what do you mean? Well, you say it's the source of your stress. So then I ask them another question. My question to you, how much is a long time? How much is a short time? See, I know what a long time is. It's you talking. You haven't gotten the point here. I want to master my time. You tell me I got to master my body and my emotions and everything else. Get to the point. Just show me what to do so I can get the result done right now, quicker, faster. Well, then there'll just be more quicker, faster things for you to do. Here's what time is. It's emotion. Think about it. Ever had a minute feel like an eternity? Like you're waiting to get the results on a test for your health or someone else you care about? Or you're standing in line? Or, you know, you're under the pressure. You got to go pick up your kids and you're trying to get something else done before something else gets closed and meet everybody's expectations and it seems impossible? You know, I've had a minute feel like an eternity, and we've also had times in our life where, heck, I'm sure you've had times where it's like, what do we say? Time flew. Where'd the time go? Hours went by, but it felt like minutes. Have you had some times like that too? Then time is just a feeling. It's a mental construct, which means if you're going to take control of your time, I can give you a new BlackBerry. I can give you a new PDA. I can give you a brand new multifaceted time management software piece. The problem with all these tools is they're all asking you the same question. They all start out whether you got, you know, a paper product, you know, that you're managing things on. They all say, what do I need to do? And today, if you're an achiever, which you must be, if you're probably taking the time to listen to something like this, there's always more to do than you have time, isn't there? So we've got to figure out what we're going to do that matters most to us in our sense of contribution to our families, our friends, to ourselves, to our long-term future. That's what you're going to learn in this simple system for. And we call it RPM. RPM means rapid planning method. It'll take a little time to gather and understand it, but once you do, you'll start moving faster than ever because you're going to be doing the things that matter most to you. And it's going to get you to change the thinking and therefore the feeling in your body. So things that used to stress you out, you'll be in the middle of it and go, oh, wait a second, hold it. No, I'm going to move from the world of have to the world of get to. That's when your life changes. Why are most people stressed right now? It's because they don't have control of their emotions. They don't have control of their time because they're living in a world of constant reaction. Now you're going to say, Tony, you're going to tell me not to have any more emails, no more instant messages, no more Crackberry? No. I'm going to show you how to manage it so it doesn't control you. Because stress, my friend, comes from one simple thing. When you feel like you're more in control of events than events are in control of you, you're going to feel good about your life. But when you feel like events are controlling you more than you're controlling them, you're going to be stressed. So it's going to start with getting clear about what you want, then moving you into why you want it. So there's a different reason for following through. And then it'll finally move you into what to do. And that may seem like more steps, but then you're going to be focused on what matters and you're going to get the result and you're going to achieve it and you're going to enjoy it as opposed to living in this reactive world that most of us are. And I'll tell you how I came about this. Honestly, it started out very young. I'm a passionate guy. I love people. I live to see people lit up. And I've been doing this for 30 years in 80 countries with more than 3 million people in live seminars and more than 50 million people through my books and tapes and so forth. I mean, I'm driven. So at a very early age, I have all these dreams and goals, you know, the science of achievement, what I want to get done. And I found myself unable to get it all done. So I went to a time management course. I don't know if you've suffered through one of these or not, but I did. But it was still worth it because at the end, you know, they gave me this book. In those days, it was paper. That's, you can see how ancient I am. I actually used paper at one stage of my life. And sure enough, they had this paper and you wrote down your to-do list and, you know, what do you need to do? And you gave it an A and B and C priority, you know. And today people go, I don't have time to even come up with the A, Bs. What are you talking about? But in those days, I learned this tool and it was great and it worked for a while till I had three companies. And yeah, they weren't even big companies in those days, but all those moving parts, all of a sudden the time management system just destroyed. So I was carrying it around. It was basically a really good looking address book and calendar because I didn't even write all my to-dos down anymore because it was so frustrating. Who wants to look at what you didn't accomplish at the end of the day that you should have done? So I lived in reaction. And then it got so out of control that in order to really be able to produce the results I was committed to, I said, I got to find a better way. There's always going to be more activity than there is time. So what do I got to shift to? And that's where RPM came from. It also came from, frankly, seeing the impact on my relationships that being stressed out was creating. Have you seen any of that in your life? I mean, I remember at one point in my life, I decided I wanted to have a place in Fiji. I was a young kid, I was 24, and I was gonna go find a place, a little piece of land. I didn't have any money at that stage, but I was gonna find a little piece of land that I could buy that if all heck broke loose, it would be paradise. And I could take my family and friends there. And I had a friend that was very wealthy and he traveled the world. And he literally, I used to play racquetball with him. And his goal was to see every major island group in the world. So he would go twice a month, go for these vacations, come back and tell me, oh my God, the Seychelles are incredible or Bora Bora is amazing. And I used to think, God, I wish I had the time for that. So he said, just make the time, Tony, go. And then he came back from a place called Fiji. And he said, Tony, this is the most magnificent place of all the islands I've ever been to. And I said, why? Is it the beauty of the island? He goes, no, you know, there's lots of beautiful places. He said, it's the people. You'll love the people. And he said, look, I found this little piece of land there. And it was like $500,000. And I thought, wow, I could almost, you know, finance that, figure that out, and have a piece of paradise. So, you know, my life was all about achievement. So I immediately booked the plane, jumped on, grabbed the lady of my life, said, we're going to Fiji. Oh, not for a vacation, of course not, just to achieve something more, right? So sure enough, I'm going to go there and I get there and it's hot and we go to one island, another island, and I'm frustrated and it's not what I want it to be. And I'm stressed out till I got in the water. And it's like, wow, there's a thing called life besides activity. Wow. I mean, it's like, there goes a butterfly. There's like humans here, like this is very cool. And so for a short time while I was in the water, I came back to this experience of life and fulfillment instead of this addiction to activity, every moment achieving something. And so finally I left the water and I'm going around and I'm starting to check out different islands, different places. And I remember one morning I got up and I was just going so intensely because I knew I only had another day left to find the perfect piece of land. And I saw this Fijian man. I said, sir, excuse me, what time is it? What time is it? I'll never forget my entire life, this guy. He looked up at the sky, he looked around, and he looked at me, and he said, daytime. And I thought, oh my God, have I lost it that badly? You know, I mean, and this guy was so happy, and I was so stressed out. He said, you know, I meet many Americans. They all come here, you know, and they want to, you know, work very hard continuously every day and night so they can eventually come here and be on the beach. And he said, I just come here and be on the beach. And I thought, somewhere there's got to be a balance here, right? Something's got to change. And so it started to trigger me to look for an answer because what I wanted was some insight. You know what? You can get a mechanical tool, but you know, we were all told technology was going to change our life and give us all this free time. How's it working for you? It hasn't worked out too well for me. I mean, it's a constant interruption and affects every relationship we have. And I'll tell you something, that's what started to make me say I have to change this. And all I'm trying to do in this introduction to you is to get you associated to two things. One is there is an answer, and it isn't technology. It's not a physical technology. It's not another computer or another phone, you know, iPhone or whatever. I mean, they're all beautiful. I love all these tools and techniques. It's a different way of focusing and organizing your mind and your emotions. It's a different way to prioritize that's very simple and clear. It doesn't take you more time. It'll take you less time to do, but you're going to be more fulfilled. Secondly, I want you to know there is a way to move out of the world of have to the world of get to. That doesn't mean that everything in your life is not you get to. But when you organize it the way we're going to show you, I can promise you there's going to be a change, not just in what you accomplish, but how much you enjoy your life. That's why I call this the time of your life. And the time's going by, you got to enjoy it. And also, it's going to affect your relationships. Because if you're stressed out, you know what it does. In fact, there's a great book that you may have read by Malcolm Gladwell called Tipping Point. And in it, there was an interesting little story about a study that was done at Princeton Theological Seminary. In it, they took 100 seminary students and they interviewed them at different stages to find out insights into what drove them to enter, you know, the ministry, basically. So one of the first questions they asked out of context, because they wanted to see, you know, how people were driven and how it affected the way they preached and just the way they behaved as a whole. And they asked them, did you enter seminary school because you were pursuing personal fulfillment, that you felt this would fulfill you, or did you enter it primarily because you desire to serve others? And they said, you know, obviously everybody wants all these things, but which one really drove you most in your heart of hearts, just out of curiosity? And they asked it in a way that was non-judgmental, and they captured it for each student, for 100 students. And then they gave students an assignment as well. And they said, here's your assignment. We'd like you, if you would, to do one of these three things. They took one group and they said, we want you to read the story of the Good Samaritan, and then we want you to go give a speech on this at a local church. The second group, they said, we want you to do a speech at a local church on the impact of ministers on theology. And then the third group was asked to take any story from the Bible, from the Old Testament or New Testament, and go do a speech on it for this group. But all three are going to do a speech. You say, well, Tony, what's this got to do with me and my time? Yeah, you'll get the payoff. Check this out. Then they did only one thing differently with them. Here's what they did. They said, okay, now that you're organized for your speech, they took out of all three of these groups, they took a group of people and they said, you're late. You've got to go give this speech right now. And they sent them off. They took another group with representatives from all three groups, people that got into the seminary for various reasons, people who were either going to give the Good Samaritan speech or the theological speech or the speech on any of the chapter. And they said to them, you know, you got plenty of time, but you might as well get over to the church so you're there early and you got plenty of room and you won't be stressed out. Then all these people had the same setup. They're sent to a church, and on the steps of the church was a man holding his head, moaning like he was massively injured and in huge pain. So here's my question for you. Which group do you think stopped and helped this man the most or the least? Was it the group that got in the seminary for their own personal fulfillment? Was it the group that got in the seminary to serve others? Or was it a person who just read the Good Samaritan story? Or was it the person who was focused on the impact of the ministry on theology? Or was it the person who got to pick their own story? Invariably, people say, I know who stopped. The people that got in the seminary to serve others, they were the first ones to stop. Nope. Okay, well, the ones that just read the story of the Good Samaritan, I mean, my goodness, you know, it's the classic. The man on the side of the road, you're going to stop and help. Okay, it's the person who got to pick what they were going to speak about because they were probably more connected to themselves. The minister, The only difference between these people was the ones that were told that they were late, only 10% of the people stopped to help this man. Even if they just read the Good Samaritan story, even if they got in the ministry for one reason only, which was to serve others, they stepped over the painful body of this person to go in and give a speech. And it was so obvious. The man is moaning and shaking. And it looks, you know, he's holding his head like something horrific has happened. They just read the story. They're in it to serve people. And they stepped over his body like he was dead in their way. Everybody else on the opposite side, regardless of what category, 67% of those people that were told they had time stopped to help the man. almost 70%. And it didn't matter whether they got in the seminary for themselves or to serve others. It didn't matter if they just read the Good Samaritan story or the, you know, doing their speech on the impact of the ministry or whether they picked their own story. It didn't matter. It was all time. The perception of time. The perception of have to versus get to versus want to versus I choose to. We lose completely the sense of what's most important to us in a world that's constantly interrupting us, constantly giving us a false demand that something has to happen now. The beeping of the email, the vibration in your pocket, you've got to stop it. It doesn't matter how good a person you are, it's going to affect your relationships, and relationships are life. Think about it. Your relationship with God, your relationship with yourself, your relationship with those you love, your relationship with your friends, your coworkers. Our relationships determine the quality of our life because relationships are the magnifier of human emotion. If you got great relationships, things get magnified in a great way. If you got lousy relationships, you got pain in your life. And if you don't master time, it'll affect your relationships. Your relationship with yourself, you'll be stressed out. Your relationship with your children, with your loved one, your intimate in your life. Your relationship with even your friends. But if you take control of this in a simple way by learning to ask a couple of questions and break yourself of the addiction to the to-dos and get into what matters most to you now and take your focus and don't let it be interrupted and do what matters most for some segment of your day, you're going to achieve and you're going to be fulfilled and you deserve that. And I'm passionate about it because it works. I'm a passionate man and I'm passionate about this subject, so I hope it doesn't sound over the top, but this is your life. If you don't take control of your time, you're not going to be able to experience anything else. This is the invisible force that shapes us. Think about it. What affects your life most are invisible forces. I don't care if it's radiation or gravity or radio waves or, I mean, most of your life, most of what you are shaped by in your life, most of what's affecting you, you can't even see. And time is one of those invisible forces. And so is emotion. Master those. Take what's invisible and make it visible. Understand what it really is and how to direct it and shape it. And you can have not only freedom, not just results, but fulfillment as well. But I'll tell you one thing. I value more than anything else a life of meaning. And you can't have that when you live in reaction. So I hope I've hooked you. I hope I've hooked you to take care of yourself. I hope I've hooked you to say, I'm not going to just dabble in this. Because that's what most people do. They dabble. They try something an old time or two. And I hope that, you know, I'm not going to hold anything back in this system, but in these two pieces I'm going to give you, teaching you this RPM system on the audio, like what are the questions? What is it that'll change the way you think and feel and give you control back? And then on the DVD, I'm going to walk you through the skill called chunking. I did this actually for a really unique and elite group of people that I work with called our Platinum Partners. So instead of a giant audience of, you know, 2,000 or 10,000 people, we're able to interact. And we took their real lives and started to figure out how to really manage it. Now, these are all people that run one or more businesses. They're entrepreneurs. They're very successful financially, and yet they're stressed out. So in the midst of this, I said, let's just give you a couple of tools that can immediately help you get out of that stress, take back control, and chunking is that skill. Chunking is the skill of how to take a lot and turn it into a little by organizing it in a very different way, by organizing how you attack it, by organizing your focus. It really provides a tremendous sense of freedom, and it's so simple. So you'll have that on the DVD. So make sure, don't just listen to the audio, go to the DVD as well. So this is about three things. One, taking control of your life, getting out of overwhelm. Two, getting the result you're really after, getting what you want, not just getting the activity done, not just reacting to people, but getting what you really want. And then thirdly, getting fulfilled. Getting a sense of meaning out of your day and out of your moments and out of all this, you know, deluge of information and activity and interaction, turning that, you know, communication soup into a feast called your life. Are you up for it? I know I sound like there's a lot here, but I'm going to break it down to three questions and a couple of tools. But my hope is I want to enroll you in the gift of mastering your life, not just dabbling. And I'm using this, reaching out to you through this audio medium to try and reach inside of you and say, please don't settle. You deserve more. Don't let the world of reaction take control of you. Don't let interruption be the driver in your life. You can have plenty of that in your life, and there's excitement to that too, but give yourself a core. That's what I want to deliver for you here. So enough talk about the why. Let's talk about the how now. And I'll have you join me at a live seminar, Life Mastery, with some people in Hawaii, and we'll walk through the process of how do you take back control. What are the questions that can help us to shape our thinking process And therefore, the way we interact with time and the amount we achieve, and most importantly, the amount we're fulfilled. Begin this audio after this. If you've got time today, or you'll do it another time tomorrow, go to the DVD on chunking, and then hopefully I'll have a chance someday to meet you and hear about how it's changed your life. I can't tell you how many people have come up to me saying, my God, I got my life back, or I'm so fulfilled. I got time with my wife or my family, or you know, I'm able to have time to find a wife or a husband or something because I got some time to have some juice left in my life because I'm not exhausted from my day anymore. But it really comes from a couple of principles. So let's get started with RPM.